Penguin Random House Audio presents Where I Belong, from small town to great big sea. This is the author, Alan Doyle. Prologue. Boy on Bridge. Spin the planet like a globe. Stop it with your finger when you see blue. There's a good chance you stopped in the Atlantic Ocean. Look up to where the ocean narrows a bit and find the old country of Ireland. Follow west through the deep blue until you come to the new country of Canada. If you're clever enough, you'll spot an odd-shaped island. If you're lucky enough, you'll visit it one day. Look closer. On the eastern edge of that island, you'll find a little piece of land that sticks out closer to Ireland than any other piece in all of North America. Just below that, you'll come to a bay with one wide-open cove and one very protected harbor. Look closer again at the little harbor, that safe haven sheltered from the winds and isolated from everywhere else by its steep hills to the north, south, and west. To the seaward east, the hills open ever so slightly to the cold Atlantic and all her gifts and gales. Tiny fishing boats and fishermen journey onto her waters, and, for the most part, she brings them back home again. Look closer still, and you'll see a little town. You'll see how it's fed by a river, a perfect little river that splits the town in half. You'll see houses on either side, and two tiny schools, one on each side. You'll also see two small fish processing plants and two convenience stores. Also, two churches. You'll notice the only thing that joins one side of the river to the other, a simple single-lane bridge. In a bit more now, and you'll likely see a boy on that bridge. He's got his hands in his pockets to keep them safe from the chilling winds off the water. His foot is tapping to a song in his head. Some might think this young fella seems happy enough to stand right where he is, but if you look just close enough, you'll see his eyes tell a different story. He looks up and down. His gaze travels to the river below him and way up to the top of the hills beyond the town. He appears to be wondering which way to go. His eyes follow the valley to the road that leads out of town, past the harbor, and into the great big sea. There was once a boy who lived in a tiny fishing village on an island in the middle of the ocean. That boy is me. This is my story. Chapter 1. Rough Side Out. When I was a boy, I had no idea about many things. I knew a few facts here and there, but I was absolutely sure about very little. I had more questions than answers. I was more curious than certain. Here is a list of the few things I knew. I knew I lived in Petty Harbor, a postcard-perfect traditional fishing community just 20 kilometers or so away from St. John's, the capital city of Newfoundland. I knew I was Catholic and not Protestant like that dubious crowd from the other side of the river. I knew I loved music and the Montreal Canadiens. That's about it. I was certain about very little else. Come to think of it, even these facts were cause for confusion. I knew what town I lived in, but I was not totally sure what country. I thought I lived in a country called Canada, but my grandfather insisted I lived in a country called Newfoundland. I thought Newfoundland was my province, and Mom said that was the truth of it. But then she also said we should never say it out loud when Granda was on the whiskey. I knew we were Petty Harbor folk. We lived around the bay, and as such, we were baymen. I did not live in town, so I was not a townie, which is what most Newfoundlanders call St. John's people. Townies agreed that I was indeed a bayman, but as far as my bayman cousins from more rural Newfoundland were concerned, I may as well have been a townie because I lived so close to the city. Also, most of the Petty Harbor Doyles worked in town, and none of the Doyles were fishermen, as baymen typically are. So this made me wonder if we were actually baymen or townies after all. Confused? Well, so was I. I did know I was Catholic and not Protestant, but I also knew that no matter how closely I looked at those strangers across the river, I couldn't see much difference between us and them. They went to a different school than we did, but they wore the same clothes and did the same jobs and liked the same sports. On rare occasions when I attended the Protestant church for weddings or funerals, their church services didn't seem to be that much different from ours. Why, I wondered, didn't we just make one big church? Or why didn't we go to their church, or they come to ours? I was told in no uncertain terms that I was most definitely a Catholic, but I honestly could not figure out why I had to be part of one religion or the other. I knew I belonged to a musical family, and I loved music more than anything, but not just the kind my friends at school liked. My parents and extended family were well-versed in Newfoundland and Irish music, especially the Clancy brothers and beloved singer-songwriters like Johnny Cash, Cat Stevens, and Chris Christopherson. My uncles, who I idolized, played in a rock and roll band. They played live covers of artists like Buddy Holly and Elvis, and Creedence Clearwater Revival, and the Beatles. They had records of heavier bands I loved like Led Zeppelin and Cream. From a young age, I was surrounded by music of all kinds, but I really had no idea what kind of music I was supposed to like. I knew that hockey was a big deal in Petty Harbor, and just about everybody around me cheered for the Detroit Red Wings. Gordie Howe had made such an impression on his generation that children born into a Red Wings household had no choice but to follow suit. My father was a Wings fan, but in a gesture of true open-mindedness, he did not insist that I follow him down the Gordie path. When I was around 10 years old, the Montreal Canadiens won 4 Stanley Cups in a row, and I fell in love with the Habs. I was the only Canadiens fan in the extended Doyle family, and folks insisted I must be cracked. So I knew in my hockey heart I loved the Habs, but I was made to feel like that was a terrible mistake. Somehow, through all this, I knew I belonged to Petty Harbor. There was never a doubt about it. I was a Petty Harbor dog, born and bred. Now, don't get me wrong. When I was young, I didn't spend a lot of time dwelling on who I was or what I was, whether I was a Canadian Newfoundlander or a Newfoundland Canadian. But there were times when I did feel that even though I knew where I was from, I didn't quite know how I fit in. Here was wee Alan Doyle, son of Tom and Jean, neither townie nor Bayman. Not quite a true Catholic, but certainly not a Protestant. A music lover who wasn't sure what music to love most. And all I really wanted to be when I grew up was a rock star or a goalie for the Montreal Canadiens, but I was pretty sure neither of those careers was achievable. So what was I supposed to do? How was I supposed to act? I really had no idea. And that was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. I was born on May 17, 1969, in St. Clair's Hospital in St. John's, North America's oldest city in Newfoundland, Canada. My parents and I were born on the same island, but while I was born a Canadian, they were born Newfoundlanders. In 1949, Newfoundland joined Canada, or Canada joined Newfoundland, as so many of our citizens say to this day. Many still believe that vote was rigged, but statistics say that 51% of Newfoundlanders were for the union and only 49 against it. I can still hear my grandfather, long after the fact, explaining his opinion on the matter. They picked the right day to sign that declaration, April 1st, because they were all a bunch of fools to join up with the Canadian wolf. Well, I did not suck the wolf's tit, and I'm not going to start today or any day. I'm a Newfoundlander like my father, and his father before that. Once he got started on this subject, he'd usually stay on it a while, and if he was really riled, he'd start invoking the devil himself. I swear to ye all that the demon Canada will one day take away everything that is ours, including the very fish in the bay that brought us all to life. I just hope I'm not alive to see it by. Granda was a staunch Newfoundlander, and not at all a Canadian, to the day he died. I remember him asking one of my older cousins about a recent trip to Toronto. So you were up to Canada, were you? Yes, my cousin answered, trying not to stir the dragon. What are they like up there? Asked Granda with honest curiosity. They're quite nice, actually. Yeah, I heard they were. Granda grinned and went back to watching the news. Canada puzzled me as a kid. It seemed like a faraway land we saw on TV or read about in the newspaper, but it had very little to do with us directly. It may as well have been Sweden or Malta for all the connection I had with it, yet somehow I knew I did not agree with Granda's assessment. I would never say it out loud, but I kind of liked Canada, what I knew about it anyway. I loved hockey and watching the Tommy Hunter show on CBC. I fantasized about big cities like Toronto and especially about Montreal. I longed to speak French like those people from...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?